Charlie. It's very simple.
You are fake news.
Stop with the media bullying.
Charlie,
stop the media bullying.
Like most of their stories, it's false.
You shut your mouth, you bastard.
But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
Hot dog. No shame in my game.
I hate that song, Bob.
Sorry. I'm a fan.
Fuck. I knew I should have had to edit you before. I was like, oh, Bob's got it handled.
You don't like Joe Walsh?
You were drinking again, weren't you?
I can't say.
I like Joe Walsh. I'll put in a vote for Joe Walsh.
Oh, I like Joe Walsh, just not that.
Not in the city?
I mean, I'd like Billy Squire.
Is that an Eagles song or is that a Walsh song?
I think it's a Joe Walsh song, but the Eagles performed it.
Hmm. Well, that's great.
Yeah,
I'm sure Pavarotti did too, Bob. Good to see you again, Holmes.
Good to see you as well.
Yeah, I miss working with you. I'm glad we're going to be doing this.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. This is the welcome to the edition of the Charlie Podcast.
Yeah, and we don't call it a podcast. We call it the No Bullshit News Hour. You didn't put that in the open.
No Bullshit News Hour.
I sent you the No Bullshit News. Let me do this. Put that back on that in the city. Go ahead, put that back on. Okay, give Bob's everybody.
It's everybody's first day.
Everybody's first day.
No shame in my game.
Some of the greatest hits. Dave McCree. No Bullshit News.
No right Bullshit on. News.
This is your No Bullshit News. Because, you know, quite frankly, everybody's in on the game now, man. The news is just kind of bullshit.
Well, there's plenty of bullshit in the news.
It's, I don't know, man. So our idea here is, look, 1 hour a week, no more. While you're on the toilet, get everything you need to know here.
He's on the toilet for an hour.
Come on, man. Really?
An hour?
You're not doing it right, Drew.
God,
just not.
You quit drinking?
You know what? You don't have family to hide from.
Oh. Thank you.
Right. So, you know, we want to have people on that you don't hear from that you should hear from. Like today, we're going to have Todd Flood, the lead prosecutor on the Flint debacle.
Right? Sexy first show story, by the way.
I think it's important, so that's what we're doing.
No, I know, and it really says a lot about what you want to do.
Yeah,
well, and what you do.
Well, real relevant when you got all the kids in Detroit public schools not drinking water.
Yeah, because the infrastructure's old, bro.
Right.
And look, that was a real low level story this week too. I don't know.
It
just
flew
didn't hear
under
people
the radar.
Yeah, I didn't hear people talking about it. It's like, well, what do you expect? It's Detroit public schools, but that's ridiculous. That's crazy.
It's super crazy, as is the fact that a lot of the lead, they test kids for lead exposure, and in many zip codes in Detroit, cup 3 or 4, it was higher than Flint's maximum. And you got to care about all the kids, right, Mark? You got kids. Oh, yeah. Your kids can't do well if other people's kids don't do well. Exactly. I mean, that's just simple math. So, with this show, you can give us some chance to get going, but we're not just going to sit here and riff on stuff going on in the news unless we're sort of attached to it. We know the news creator, the newsmaker. We have some tangential relationship to it. Otherwise, I could talk about, you know, India, the Supreme Court just ruled that, you know, gay sex is legal now. I mean, but I
wasn't. Hot.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
It was a huge move.
Yeah, slow down.
And I've had gay sex in India, so we can actually go there.
Are you grandfathered?
He was a grandfather, yes.
He's a fugitive.
Yeah. Nice man. But anyway, so let me start with this. I'm getting sued again. Oh, I'm being threatened to be sued again from City Hall.
Awesome.
Again, I got a legal letter. This is the fifth one I've got with people related to Duggan.
Been any success with these previous legal actions?
No, and it's called the First Amendment.
Well, you know why they're coming after you.
Why are they coming after me, Bob?
Like most of your stories, it's false.
Like, that's the mayor. Like most of your stories, it's
that's
false.
All the mayor can say is you're lying, not true, it's false. Your career is disintegrating.
Yeah.
Right in front of us.
But that would involve, if there was anything to it, it would involve you using false information to intentionally defame someone.
And maliciously.
And maliciously,
and
right.
It'd have to cost you money. It'd have to cost you money right now. So this, you know, this has to do with that demolition.
Well, there has to be damages as well.
Yeah.
But I just know you as a person that loves facts and loves doing research, so I would be really surprised if you were using false information to intentionally defame someone.
So look at it this way. I mean, Trump's calling the media fake, right? Fake news, you're making it up. He's not suing anybody. This, to me, is like Uzbekistan, this city. You know what I mean? Nobody wants to go after the tyrant. The guy wants to tamp dissent down. I'm just a handyman, man. I walked away.
Well, you're not working for the mainstream media right now, too. I'm a little surprised, honestly, that anybody would, not because, oh, Charlie, you're nobody, but just because you're not working at Fox 2, you're not working for the local newspaper, you're out there. I'm amazed that you're still doing stories like this on your own. You're like a free agent.
Look, man, why'd I walk? Because I think it's got to be done. So I'm a handyman at the American Coney Island. I write for Deadline Detroit just because I want to write. I'm on my knees looking at the city, trying to get dirty and do some penance for the media like I think we should do. We should get back to real life. And so if my career is deteriorating badly, why are you so wound up, dude?
And we should we should mention that quote is from a press release put out by the mayor's office, correct?
Yeah.
That referenced your career deteriorating.
Because
which is really strange.
There are federal corruption investigations all around City Hall. There's the demolition stuff. And they've had a grand jury. There are proffers. People are taking polygraph tests. People are making deals. That's coming. I'll bet my house on it. That's coming. You got Gabe Leland, right?
Yeah. Oh, that guy's classic.
Oh, boy.
Right? Sit down here, man.
You don't need it on mic, on.
Hello.
First day. It's his first day.
It's my first day.
So that story, I felt like this was a little underreported. What's the deal with Dennis Archer Jr. in that, and why is he off the hook? It sounded like he bought the place.
He's not off the hook.
Well,
Dennis Archer, he's paying bribes, right? That's the issue to Gabe Leland. Gabe Leland is on the Economic Development Committee, right? Taking orders from the mayor. That's all the stuff that's alleged. Archer comes out with a filing saying, we called the U.S. Attorney's office. They said I wasn't a target. But who said that? What U.S. attorney? There's no name in it.
Oh, so it's his lawyer saying it?
His lawyer filing.
Well, that means nothing then.
It's an affidavit.
Well, it was a big story. It was a big headline for, I mean, now that, it's funny. I was like, boring, and I moved on. I just kind of briefed through the story, but, I mean, this is really news to me that the story was generated through his own attorney. I thought there was some loud pronouncement that he didn't do anything wrong.
Not absolutely.
Just from the headline.
That's how I took it, too.
Absolutely not. So that's how you're supposed to take it. That's the bullshit news. Not that the guy that wrote the story is bullshit, because he's not. He's tight. But it just sort of bounces along, and we don't pay attention. It just bounces along. Don't forget, also, Gasper Fiore singing like a bird. He's in Milan now. He's giving it up. He's supposed to be in Pennsylvania, but he's close to Detroit, right? Don't forget. The stuff caught on his wire, they tapped his phones, the towing guy, Gasper Fiore, led to the deputy chief of police doing prison time. The deputy chief of police is the number two to the chief of police, who's also the deputy mayor. And you're not hearing from him. Where is Slippin' Jimmy Craig? Where is he? He was always on the news. Nobody's around.
Are you giving nicknames to people now?
Oh, hell yeah. I called Doug in the Wiz. Don't look behind the curtain. Oh, he got pissed. And then I wrote, well, if Kwame got 28, if the black guy got 28, and if it is true that the white guy was spinning contracts, what does he get?
Yeah, that headline got a lot of people's attention.
Let's see it through. Look, I mean, the media's got to have some force. They got to push and do the people's work. Whether the listener agrees with what I'm writing, wants to believe it, right, or says, hey, man, it's a little bit of shit, the city's doing well, that's fine. We can argue about that. That's democracy.
I think that's a common feeling. Is that, hey, the city's doing pretty well. We're going to lay
off. Leave it alone. I can appreciate that. It's a democracy. You're my brothers and sisters. Fine. But I don't think there's one listener except the mayor out there that would not fight for my right to say it. That's what the country's about. That's what the show's about. You're allowed to say it. And when they're trying to shut you up or get you to spend thousands to fight it, and I will, for everybody, then that's what we're going to do.
So what were you served with exactly?
You know, like a notice to retract.
Okay.
I said,
notice to retract. He didn't really publish anything.
I didn't mention anybody. It's, right. It's implied defamation. There's no such thing for a public figure.
No.
For the mayor's people. Everybody's leaving. That's in the news, too. The chief financial officer is leaving. John Hill.
He was in the bankruptcy.
Yeah, he was hired by Orr. He's right. Out. You know what I mean? He'd been trying to get out of there for years. Lots of people are leaving.
Well, $240,000 is not a lot of money to do that job.
Plus, you know, I mean, they're paying for his $4,000 a month apartment, his flights to and from D.C. He wasn't even full-time here.
Wow.
There's a lot of shit going on. And, you know, if the media's not going to do it, we're going to do it on this show. We'll make it fun.
It's going to be an hour.
An hour, yeah. Okay, so...
How's the egg timer coming?
Promise you an hour. You know, Drew, we were talking on the porch. You're like, you know, the Trump thing, the anonymous...
Oh, the New York Times op-ed.
Yeah, it kind of leads into it, like your freedom of the press. Nobody signed their name to it, right?
Yeah, does that bother you that it was anonymous?
Yes, it does bother me. It doesn't bother me that the newspaper did it. It bothers me that the person that wrote it didn't have the balls to put his name on it or her name on it.
Well,
I'm basically saying they're running a shadow government, trying to babysit Trump, and not do what he's asking. Try to keep everything on the rails.
Pull documents off his desk, and
yeah, that's out of Woodward's
book. But
isn't that kind of like an administrative coup?
Is that treason?
I don't know.
But how's it related? I worked at the New York Times. No, look, stop it. They didn't make it up. They know who wrote it.
No, they've got enough credibility, for me anyway, to say, okay, if they're calling it that, take them at their word.
Well, they had a very nice disclaimer before the op-ed piece saying, look, we don't usually do this, but that's how much we believe in this and who this person is.
Which they believe in what he's saying, or they believe in that the person is really saying? I'm not sure.
Both. Oh,
they know who it is.
They know who, yeah.
Now, as the show goes on.
What they're saying, they believe that there is a shadow government inside the administration that is protecting us all from destruction.
They believe what that person is saying, that person believes it to be true.
Exactly.
Oh, that person, okay. Okay, I mean,
they know. How would they really know?
Oh, of course they can't know, but well, you know what?
Do they want it to be true? Yeah.
Well, and how long is that person's identity going to remain a secret?
Well, they're already like, you know.
Because I agree with you. I don't have a problem with the paper doing it because I trust the New York Times. I have a problem with the person doing it. If you really think that way, stand up and be counted. Let us know who you are.
Or don't put an op-ed in the New York Times where you're basically destroying your ability to save us. How's this person going to save us now that it's out there that they're saving us?
And they're going to find you, dude. So hold a press conference. Right. I guess he's going to get that anyway because...
And a book deal.
Yeah, once he or she's found out, they're going to do the rounds anyway, so you might as well get more.
You got to believe it's somebody who's on their way out anyway, because they said it's not just them. There's a bunch of them. So whoever kind of did the op-ed piece, they're probably on their way out, unless it's Mike Pence.
I mean, this at the same time, you know, Bob Woodward's
book. Lodestar.
Bob Woodward was, you know, they took out Nixon, but, you know, Deep Throat is their source. He's saying Gary Cohn, the National Economic Advisor, the Chief Economic Advisor, took a executive order killing the South Korea trade agreement. He just took it off his desk, and he never noticed it was missing. Jeez. How the fuck do you do that? Is that even legal?
Well, who wrote it? I mean, if he doesn't sign it or have the wherewithal to know that it exists, does it ever exist?
Yes,
who
it
wrote
exists.
It? Who wanted it written?
Who took it off the desk?
Gary Cohn said he did.
So what do you do with him?
Well, he's gone. He was gone anyway.
You charge
once
him?
Once the tariff.
Can you do that?
Maybe he took it off his desk to rewrite it.
I mean, these are great questions.
Well, expect a president to remember every piece of paper come by? That's a pretty big one, you know, canceling
just
trade
agreement.
He has been elected the president. So, I mean, for people to say, yes, I am directly causing him not to act in a way that he intends to act, that there's a lot of questions about that. How is this person to say that what they're doing is necessary? They're that sure? They know they're doing the right thing? They're really saving our democratic institutions?
And who's to make that?
We didn't elect that person.
But he hired him maybe for his expertise on trade.
Yeah, but he's a Goldman Sachs guy, and you know what?
And he's like, a pointy.
I like the fact that, hey, we're rattling the cage on NAFTA, man. You know, fix that fucker. It killed us. So one guy unilaterally decides he's, I don't like that trade deal, so we're pulling it? Or is it a cabal inside there? Hey, man, Gary, why don't you go steal his homework?
I'm starting to wonder, how did this guy run Donald Trump did run a fairly successful company.
Well, by hiring the best people.
Bob, where's the drop?
How are we ever here? I don't know how he ran.
I assume he had something to do with it.
Of course he did.
So is he really this? I mean, he sounds like a horribly incompetent person. You know, fifth or sixth grade education. The guy said he took in the information about, was it Syria?
Yeah.
Fifth or sixth grade
about
education.
About assassinating Assad?
That's another issue.
I want him assassinated.
Right. And Mattis said, we're not doing that. Not to Trump, but after he was.
Not like we haven't assassinated
ordered.
Other world leaders.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we've never made mistakes, that a president's never made mistakes before. I mean, I think the idea that someone needs to save us from the president, I mean, we elect a president and we. I don't know. I'm not sure. I would think if any of this, if even a significant amount of this is true, wouldn't you think there would be impeachment? We'd be a little further along on this topic.
I guess we'll be back in November, won't we? We'll see how the midterms go. I guess we'll see how it goes.
But if you're a Democrat, you're not supposed to talk about impeachment.
But and doesn't it strike you?
I don't think you?
You
should. I don't think it's to that point yet. I really don't.
I don't either.
I don't really know what's going on. I'm really confused. I mean, this op-ed and Woodward's book, I'm reading this stuff yesterday going, if this is really going on, I'm stunned. It seems like he would be drooling. He'd be... I don't know. The thing about Donald Trump that I think is interesting here is that he's about as vetted a person. We know he's a billionaire. He's a successful business person. He's got a huge ego. He's a huckster. I would say he's definitely a huckster. He would never have been elected if he wasn't a huckster. We really feel like we know him. I mean, for better or worse, I mean, his battle with Rosie O'Donnell, all the dumb little things that go with Donald Trump don't quite equal up to what I hear now. I mean, he's a white supremacist. He's a racist. He's all these things that I didn't really see within the purview as we were vetting him. But then again, how much do we really know someone who we know through the media? But I did feel like we had an idea what this guy was like.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times two rows, 20 denials from Trump officials. It's going across the TV screen now. We got stuff to talk about till Melania wears something fucked up again.
Your organization's terrible.
Michael Cole.
Take a picture of that. I guarantee you it's one of those people. If you wrote it, you're going to issue a denial.
Of course you're going to deny it.
You're not going to be one of the first people to deny it, but you'll be maybe in the second wave of denial.
Americans should know there are adults in the room.
Okay. Boy. Okay. So,
you ever feel like you could take 6 months off from this and just come back and it would be the same?
I tried. That's why I'm on my, in Deadline Detroit. That's where you can find what I write. I'm on my knees, trying to look at the city and the things going on. What you got there?
Oh, breaking news! But I don't know when this is going to air.
Reynolds.
So is it going to be breaking news?
Yeah. Burt Reynolds wrote it. Oh fuck!
I was trying to show Drew. Sorry.
What is it? Though?
That's pretty major breaking news.
Oh shit! Burt Reynolds died. Yeah. Bob, where's the breaking news? Deet. Don't got that either.
Burt Reynolds died? Maybe we have a Trans Am crashing or something.
Oh, a scene from Smokey and the Bandit? Or
he died a few days ago. 2 days ago?
He did?
Really?
Oh, when this is You're right.
Oh, yeah. This is taped.
What? Don't tell anyone.
No!
Okay, anyway, I did talk to a friend who is affiliated with the New York Times editorial board, works at the New York Times. It's real people. It's real. They didn't make it up. So
people think they made it up? I mean, I never thought.
Yeah, that's out there too.
Trump said it. That was one of the first things he made it up. It's fake.
Oh no, the person made it. He said the person made it up. I don't think he's saying the New York Times made up the person that wrote the op-ed. Is he saying that? I don't know.
That's what I thought he said. Yeah.
New York Times
created a fictitious person.
Yeah, either they made it up, create a fictitious person, or give the person up because it's treason.
So which one is it?
Which, neither is true, really. It's just a fucking mess. And in the meantime, you get to pay for it. So, look, as the show goes on, we will have people from New York, from Washington, people we know, to talk about these things. So I'm going to go to this first official commercial break, and then we're going to come back with Todd Flood, something that affects us here locally. Okay? Todd Flood, the chief prosecutor on the Flint water debacle. So please stay tuned. Listen to this. Very important from our sponsor, and we'll be right back. All right, I lied. I lied. We're not back from anything. We got no advertisers yet. It's the inaugural show. So call Drew up if you want to advertise here.
Wait, why am I the advertising department?
I don't know, because this is your network. What is the name of the fucking network? Do you have a name yet?
Kicked a few around.
In Flux.
That could be... I don't know. I don't like it.
You know, I don't like it.
We'll figure something out.
We'll figure something out, but it's a nice segue because in studio is In Flood. Todd Flood is in studio. If you don't know Todd, he's a longtime prosecutor in this town, big-time lawyer, but he's the special prosecutor working on the Flint case.
I don't know about special, but I'm the prosecutor.
Where are we at with it, Todd?
Well, you saw Nick Lyons was bound over. We have Jerry Ambrose. He's coming up for a status conference. He has been he waived his preliminary exam. We're still in the midst of the DEQ exam.
Who's Nick Lyons?
Nick Lyon. We always say Lyons, but it's Nick Lyon. Nick Lyon was the...
We say Fords, too, and yeah, Kroger.
Right.
So
it's right. If you're from downriver.
Sure.
So, yeah. So
Myers, also.
Yep, Myers.
Right.
Well, anyway, Todd's.
Mr. Lyon is a cabinet member for Governor Snyder. He is the director in charge of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. So we charged him with involuntary manslaughter. I think you even asked me about that.
I asked you if it was murder. Is what happened in Flint murder?
No, well, involuntary manslaughter by definition is not murder. That's murder is a life offense. Involuntary manslaughter is a 15-year offense. So,
what do you contend he did? What went on in Flint, Todd?
Well, I would love to get into the depths of what happened in Flint, but I'm governed by the rules of ethics and the canons of ethics, so I can't get into the depths of the investigation and the case. But, the big thing about Flint is it's an important investigation, and everyone has a belly full of Flint. Right, they can't believe it happened throughout the state, throughout the country, and people kind of turn it off. And unfortunately, that's unacceptable because it's a case unlike no other that I've ever had, and I don't think anyone here has ever seen anything like it in the state before. So it's a very important investigation, one that we have to do, one that's mandated, I think.
Was it a get-rich-quick scheme? That's how I see it. That was what my investigation led to. You have local politicians, contractors, trade unions. Flint doesn't need a water department, a new water system, and yet they're getting one when they're broke. So people make money, like the Wayne County Jail. And in Wayne County Jail, nobody went to prison. Is no one going to go to prison for people at least minimum getting sick? At least 12 people have died.
Well, I contend many more people died than just 12, and I think I'm stating what's been put in the public. And Charlie, you're good. You know, I respect you because you always hold, truth to the power, and I would love to get into the bowels of the investigation and what the scheme or scam was, if you wanted to use those terms. I really can't. I can talk about the stuff that is in the public domain.
Stuff that's been in court.
In court or just has been released publicly, and to the extent that it's of interest of why the investigation takes place. Really, the city was on the verge of bankruptcy. They cut back their civil service positions, their police, their fire. They still had debt that they couldn't change. They still were spending more than they were making to pay their payroll, probably to the tune of $1 million a month. So they didn't have the ability to stay afloat, right?
Yeah.
And they had to ultimately make a decision, go to bankruptcy like Detroit, at the same time Detroit was in bankruptcy, or come up with a different plan to try to do what the emergency manager edict was, and that is to get fiscal responsibility. So that was the premise of that law, was anytime you put a EM in the place of a municipality, they're bringing the house back in order, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right? So they couldn't cut anymore, right? And if you couldn't cut anymore, you had two options, bankruptcy or figure something else out. And here, they eliminated the debt of $1 million a month by getting rid of DWSD. And then they turned out that they could sell water and make money, right? I don't think they woke up in the morning and said, I don't think anybody woke up in the morning and said, we want to poison people. But again, that's why the investigation is so important, is what did people know and when did they know it? And you got to go through all those interviews. I mean, you think about it, right? There's five departments, there's private contractors, there's the city involved, there's the executive office involved.
Bond lawyers.
You gotta interview and go down so many rabbit holes. And it's too, if the AG's office did it or a prosecutor's office did it, it would be all consuming and they wouldn't get the people's work done on other issues. And I think it, you know, to some extent is a blessing in disguise to have, you know, the ability to have a special counsel, be it me or anyone else that got appointed, you know.
Didn't it come down to this?
Let me hear it.
Flint's broke. You can't borrow money. They right. concocted a scheme to come up with some money to be able to borrow when you can't borrow because you're in receivership. So the way they save money, they say, we're going to build a water system. The water's going to be cheaper. We're going to charge the same price, and we're going to make our note. In the meantime, before the water system gets built, we need a cheaper source of water to help finance this thing. So they look to the Flint River and say, we're gonna take it out of there. Problem is, they never brought that treatment plant up to speed, up to specification. So it's sort of like flying an airplane and the pilot realizing there's no engine on the damn thing.
So you bring up good analogies. They're flying a plane that doesn't have one of its engines, but they have the belief that they're saving money so they can fix the engine while they're in flight and it crashes before it gets to the destination.
That's some bullshit.
Well, I mean, that's what is in the public domain, right? So that's what you see out there. I can't get into that as much as I want. I would love to, but, you know, you're a smart guy. You're seeing the elements being put out in front of you. However, you got to be careful because I think there's different silos, and you hate to merge silos and get guilt by association, right? There's a lot of innocent people that don't want to get guilt by an association type thing. And, you know, here's the thing. There is just such a lack of trust in our politics and our government, in our city, Flint, and the people in Flint. I got 168 miles on my little walk meter, you know, in the city of Flint. And I was just up on, just off of Carpenter Street, just south of Carpenter, which is the border of Flint, the top border of the north border, where you see Superfund sites where their water is being leached into. This is not a Flint water treatment plant, right? But this is where GM had left, and the government, when they went bankrupt, ended up owning, our federal government, owning super drains that were Superfund sites that are leaching into the water, right? So what are we doing to clean those things up? What are we doing to make sure that citizens are taken care of? How does the investigation all intertwine with that? And are people being taken care of? You know, trust is brought down presidents, brought down companies, and brought down marriages when you have a lack of it, right? And right now you have a lack of trust.
Well,
can I just interject something here?
Yeah, man.
What about
Drew,
the state being in such a hurry, or whoever's in such a hurry, to take away the bottle of water? It seems like they just can't take it away from Flint fast enough. People are saying, I don't really want to drink this water yet. And they're saying, oh, no, it's fine. Don't worry. Yeah. You don't need the bottle of water. Doesn't that seem like just a bad PR move, if nothing else?
Well, you know, that's something that doesn't have anything to do with the investigation, and I'm glad you bring it up because that's politics, right?
Yeah.
That's politics. That has nothing to do with the criminal investigation.
Oh, but, no. I wasn't right. suggesting that. But,
yeah. but it does have that.
Yeah, but I...
I'm just thinking about the people.
Can you make it up? Can you honestly make that up? I mean, you got a PR move where people need trust, right, where they need some love, and at the end of the day, you're taking away bottled water. I don't get it. I don't get that part. Didn't make sense to me when it happened.
Did it cost that much to provide bottled water? I'm sure it's expensive, but...
Our percentage of our budget, 0.00001% of a budget.
I mean, and the signs are still up in the state and the city buildings on the drinking fountains they do not use.
Right.
So...
just like Detroit Public Schools.
Exactly. So what kind of message is that?
Yeah. I mean, I just read recently Kansas going through a similar problem with their wells out in Kansas that the cover-up was there out there. It just had on the west side of the state... where our wells were being infected by a tannery out there that just came to light. So our infrastructure in our country is one that needs to be looked at hard.
We're building skyscrapers, bro, and hockey arenas, so shut the fuck up. We're not talking about clean water here.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all that constitutional thing they called the right to life.
Huh. You
know, yeah.
You must be a lawyer.
Wait, where'd that come from?
Yeah, right. The pursuit of happiness somewhere.
Where'd you go to law school?
Toledo.
Is that a law school?
No, it's not really. Of course.
Is that accredited? It's where my
brother went. University of Toledo.
Is it? You did?
We got some seriously great judges and lawyers and litigators from U of T, man.
U of D?
No, Toledo. T. Where did you go? You just came from the road of hard knocks. You've learned your law just running on the street.
I went to the University of Michigan, and then I studied journalism at grad school at the University of California at Berkeley, which is on par with Specs Howard.
I don't know. I know.
See,
I know.
They taught us law in government.
Heather
content.
Tells me Syracuse is the place to be.
Bob Costas.
Yeah, but it's not the Bay, brother.
Yeah, well, Charlie, I've never said you were a dumb guy. You're the smart one in the group.
Thank you very much. So, speaking of which, you putting a RICO case together? Can you go there?
Why do you ask such silly
racketeering,
questions?
Racketeering.
Smart man.
Conspiracy. Give us a hint. It's just us down here.
No, I can't give you a hint. I can't give you a hint. But, you know, listen, this is why I love you, is because you're bringing up the relevant points and or questions to ask. You know, what's relevant in our society today and what really happened. And that's what the report and the investigation ultimately and the prosecutions in this case hopefully show. I've said it before.
Show conspiracy.
Stop it. I didn't say that.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. You think I'm falling for that? What are you, Columbo?
I wanted to ask you a question. To that point, it's not the easiest story to digest as a typical television viewer like myself who reads papers. It's not the sexiest story unless you see kids dying. It gets your attention. You talked about what's in the public domain. What's the one thing you think people are missing that is in the public domain with the whole Flint situation? What is the media underreported that we as the general public don't get?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Make us care.
I'll sit back.
Yeah, no, that's a great question because I just called.
Why don't you sit back and listen to the answer, please?
I'll hang up.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
We're just getting off the ground.
You can take a call.
Who was that guy?
Jason, call in, would you?
So I just called a photographer from the Detroit Free Press who lives in Flint, and he captured, because all of us except for Charlie here like to look at pictures. You know, he captured the story that is not being told. And that is the real life saga and sadness that continues today in the city of Flint with mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, you know.
Those rashes are real.
Yeah, but forget it. You know, those rashes are real, but it's, you know, people that their trajectory of life has changed. You had, you know, the benefits of whatever your trajectory was, that there wasn't too many hurdles that you had to overcome that you couldn't. Here, we've put impediments, hurdles in front of people, us, I'm talking our society, in front of some of these people that, you know, it's very, very difficult to overcome. If, you know, and they will with the right drive and with the right compassion and, you know, the love that's put out there, but the story that's not being told is how high those hurdles are for everybody. And if you want to go see the pictures that have been put out by the Free Press and some of the media coverage by some great photographers. They tell the real story that people just can't believe because you asked the question. It's a complicated story, and I'm tired of it. I got a belly full of Flint. I don't want to hear about it anymore, right? Isn't that what a lot of people say?
But that's what pisses me off is, like, the whole world is supposed to pay attention for a week.
But you're not always normal.
2 weeks, and then we go away.
Right, right.
And then nothing's important.
Well, Hillary Clinton showed up during the campaign as if she was going to do something about it.
Doing freaking commercials.
Right. Yeah, it was a commercial. It was.
That's all it is. That's all that is. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's, I just wish people could go see moms. Go see the moms up there. In the city of Flint. Just go walk and talk and see moms. And I guarantee you, you will have your eyes opened to something that you just can't believe happened in our country.
You know what it does when I go up there and talk to moms? It starts with a sigh. Then it becomes the presentation. Then the shaking starts. And then the tears come.
Yeah.
And then it ends in screams. And nobody's getting out of there. You can't sell your fucking house. It's $15,000. I mean, you're from there. You invested your whole life there. What are you supposed to do? Board it up and leave?
What are homes worth in Flint compared to Detroit neighborhoods? Obviously, you know, you look at the price of homes.
Yeah, so they've dropped dramatically, and there's a report out on that. But I will tell you something, that there is investment coming back. It's kind of weird. It's counterintuitive to see. But it's coming back. Flint has I was a Wayne County prosecutor, so I was just with David Layton. I do have to say that their crime rate, I don't know how Prosecutor Layton does it. He's doing he goes to court himself, right? So there's a lot of crime there. But because of certain eye-opening experiences out there, there are some companies, right, that are coming back and trying to invest in the city of Flint. It's just hard right now for citizens because they don't get that trickle down. They don't get that trickle down effect, right? And those homes there, those are going to be difficult.
Why are people investing? Is it literally become such a horrible story? People go, "Oh, I want to help," or is this just some natural progression?
Say that again.
Let me interrupt though, real quick. Okay. If you're looking to buy in Flint, there's a sweet little peach. It's 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, about 2,000 square feet. On Pershing Street. For a nice price of $29,000.
Yeah, I actually know the house on Pershing Street.
Get out of here.
Yeah. So
God, you are fake news.
Are you selling it?
No, because you go on Pershing Street and you'll see that there were look at the Dr. Mona Atisha's map. And Dr. Mona Atisha's map that's been public, right, where the lead content was the highest, Pershing was in that 6 mile radius.
Well, way to fuck it up, Todd.
Yeah, sorry.
Is that disclosed on the listing?
they changed the pipes there.
If pictures don't make people care, pocketbooks do. What is the overall cost of the state, approximately?
What's the overall cost to the state for this?
Just that the citizens have to pay for us to care.
$100 billion.
Yeah, wow. Baby.
Not that much.
That was a classic.
Something like that.
The cost to fix or the cost for the investigation and prosecution or the cost?
No, well, we'll get to the cost of the investigation in a minute. But the cost to fix.
Everything.
What the feds brought, the potatoes and carrots for the kids, the pipes, all of that, about half a billion?
Oh, I have no idea. You might say a billion. I don't know.
It's in that neighborhood.
I have no idea.
Then...
I don't have that metric, and I don't even know where I'd get that metric.
So let's bring
Is anyone even adding it up? Probably not.
Probably well,
not.
We stopped. We stopped with everything. But
it's only our money.
It was. And then you have to say, okay, they borrowed that $100 million, right, to put in that water system that they're not using anymore. Who's paying for those bonds? Do you know?
I can't get into the depths of my investigation.
Okay, tell me if I'm wrong.
I can't do that either.
The Detroit, the Great Lakes Water Authority.
Just because I went to public schools, you have something against public schools, Charlie?
I'm all about the public school. That's the only place I ever went.
Well, then why do you keep on asking those silly questions that you think I might answer?
Because we're paying for it. You're paying for it here in the house of Skank. I'm paying for it at my house. You're paying for it downriver. Yeah, the Great Lakes Water System assumed the payment of the bonds. Correct?
Wait, is that a leading question?
No, it's a question.
Yeah, it is a leading question, Charlie. I can't give us that.
Get out.
I can't.
You're out of order.
You can't handle the truth.
Bob, you can't handle the truth.
You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order. Get out of order.
That's Bob's first day on the board. It's pretty good.
It's my first day.
Have you met Bob?
I haven't met Bob. He looks like, you know, a fire.
We have met before, Todd. I'm the photog, so he probably didn't see me because I was behind the camera.
You were the photog for?
Oh, I've done interviews with Charlie, with Simon Chiquette. I'm just the Fox 2 photog.
Behind the
camera.
Yeah.
Good to see you
again.
You're
the strong. Good to see you. I'm sorry. You're the strong guy.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit of mad cow in me, so, you know.
Okay, look. We have an election coming up. The guy employing you as the prosecutor is Bill Schuette, the attorney general. He's now running for governor. So who even knows where this case goes from here? There's going to be a new attorney general, and they could just throw it away. So I want to read you something. This is from the Democratic nominee, Dana Nessel, who's talked to Bridge Magazine. And here's what she said. I'm going to quote. Give me, audience, just listen to this. I have long been a critic of the way in which Bill Schuette has handled the Flint water crisis investigation and subsequent prosecutions. Schuette has never had any real interest in seeking justice for the residents of Flint. He is merely an opportunist who has used this crisis to further his political ambitions via a series of politically charged show trials. Here's where you come in, Todd. Prosecutors should never be paid hourly, as this practice risks incentivizing the charging of unsustainable cases, filing frivolous motions, and calling unnecessary witnesses to testify. Additionally, the appointed special prosecutor, Todd Flood, is a significant donor to both Bill Schuette as well as to Governor Rick Snyder, ostensibly one of the targets of the investigation. Schuette effectively recused the office of Attorney General due to a conflict of interest. Since the state of Michigan employs many of the defendants, then proceeded to appoint a special prosecutor with an even bigger conflict of interest, the state has now paid out roughly $25 million for attorney's fees, which can only be viewed as a mockery of the criminal justice system. The residents of Flint are no closer to obtaining justice, and the taxpayers of Michigan are considerably worse off. Todd.
Man, that's heavy.
That's an indictment, bro.
Yeah.
So you're ripping off the state, you're charging people just to keep getting paid, and you're nowhere near to doing anything here.
Well, we've charged more than 15 people, 44 counts, 44 felonies. We've gotten pleas. We've gotten bindovers. And the work that we've done, the citizens of Flint have had more answers, more questions answered. Then I think in a case that is unprecedented.
You're being accused of padding your pockets on a calamity. You want to answer that?
Well, it's sad because if the truth be told, we're capped. We get a budget every month. And, I'm open to when this investigation is over to show, obviously, that it costs more than what we get. And we have to cut. Pay. In the first year, we had to cut pay. We paid more out of our own pockets at the end of the fiscal year than what the state gave us. But ethically, we have to, once we sign in as a prosecutor, I can't just dump a case and say, oh, God, this just doesn't fiscally make sense. So I'm stuck within the confines of where I'm at.
Is this costing you?
Yeah.
Personally?
Personally. My firm has taken a major hit because of this case. But you know what? It doesn't matter to me. I've never been a money guy. Give me a good cigar at the end of the week, a cheap bottle of wine, and I'm a happy guy. I'm not a material guy. Anyone that knows me knows that to be the truth. I know Dana. I respect Dana. I worked with her. She is in politics, and justice and politics just don't mix, right? And that's the bottom line. Lady Justice is blind, and Dana is doing what she needs to do, she believes, to run a successful campaign. So I'm not going to get into politics. I'm going to let her and whoever else is running run their campaigns, and I'm just going to keep my head down, be an ordinary guy attempting to, you know, ferret out the justice and write the report for the people that need the answers.
Let that hang a second. Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you, Drew, and I know the people I speak to and the people that listen to what I'm doing. I don't know a single person outside the political realm in this state or this country that want this investigation go away. I think what we want is the pound of flesh. We want somebody finally to pay for this. Money disappears in Detroit, in D.C., in Joliet, in St. Louis, in Flint. The people are worse off. The public's bank is bereft. And everybody involved with this shit is drinking expensive wine and eating expensive steak at lunch when I got it. Grabs a $600 cell phone, the guy that I tackle is doing 3 to 15. It just seems fucked up. And no, I mean,
wait, the guy you tackled is doing 3 to 15?
3 to 15 on
some priors, though?
On a, yeah, of course. But I mean, what's a bigger crime?
Oh, no, I was just curious.
Yeah, he's doing
about that guy.
3 to 15.
Nice bringing up the guy you tackled.
I hope they don't. I got to keep track of this guy. He might be looking for me soon. That's not funny.
I think you just want to bring up the guy you tackled.
Yeah, well, I mean, I you know, it's in my new book, Shit Show. Country's Collapsing, The Race of Great, available on Amazon. And it's in there because when I walked out of the courthouse.
You hit him high or low?
He got me first because I was in those slippery boots, and then I got up and I took him out low.
Sweet.
Tough guy. He's pretty strong.
Did you damage the phone?
Did you, like, do it?
Got the phone back.
Did you do a nose tackle? How'd you do it? Did you wrap him up? Did you wrap him? Do a, you know, a fireman?
It's a double leg takedown, dude.
Double leg takedown.
Oh, okay.
And you could see him.
Some wrestling.
Yeah.
2 points. And you could see him winding up, so I just...
Where did you learn to wrestle? Was that like...
Going to Churchill High School.
Yeah, Churchill. Okay. Yeah.
Was there a reversal at any point? Or did you hang on to him?
Oh, no. No, I got it. Then I gave him a chicken wing.
Yeah.
And an arm bar.
Yeah.
And oh, an arm bar.
Held the dude.
Yeah.
Yep.
Dare life. Was he big?
200 pounds.
Wow.
19.
Wow. So yep. He had some energy.
He's like,
how long did you have to wait until the cops showed up?
It was 20 fucking minutes, and we're in the middle of Michigan Avenue, downtown.
Well, there you go.
And I just saw the FBI agent who had walked. I'm on top of the guy, and this Fed, I didn't know he was Fed at the time, but he's got this homemade handcuffs out of shoelaces, like a ligature, and he's fumbling with them, like, you know, it's homemade handcuffs. And I'm like, where the fuck did he get the shoelaces? He's wearing loafers. Guy walking around with his shoelace handcuffs.
Thank God he was. Yeah.
So does that mean the
FBI... didn't work.
Does that mean the FBI can't afford handcuffs?
Man.
You know, they got to take off shoelaces.
So much shit down there is just bullshit, like crimes down. I mean, Detroit's a shooting gallery. Where's the money? Todd, where's the money? How did Flint borrow $100 million when they weren't allowed to borrow anything? They came up with fake emergency, didn't they?
Yeah, you saw my charging documents, and I can't get into what...
Just say what the charging document said, Todd. Come on.
Yeah.
How'd they do that?
Well, I already put that out there. That was the...
Put it simply for our viewership. It's Sunday. We want them back and involved in Flint.
Well, that was the administrative consent order, right?
Yes.
That was the emergency they said they had to repair, and that was the lime sludge lagoon.
So there was a small pond of sludge.
Well, it was dried up, and it had lime coated on top of it that they needed to clean up, and that emergency was what they used to borrow the funds or get the leverage to allow a bond.
Because we had an emergency. It's like you can get rid of the debt cap if there's an emergency, right? Like Houston gets hit with a hurricane and forget the debt. We got to fix Houston. Okay. So they found a dried up pit of sludge with lime on top. How much would that have cost to clean up, maybe?
I can't get into that part.
Okay, I'll give you the number. Maybe 10, 20 grand. How much did we borrow to clean up this lagoon of dried up sludge?
Well, obviously the leverage was there to get the bonds of $85 million for that particular project.
$85 million to clean up
for that particular emergency. But that
for that emergency.
Right.
That, my words not yours, took about 20 grand.
Well, I
you again, can't comment on that, but
I can't get into any of that part.
And then, but what happened to the rest of the money? It didn't go to clean up the lagoon. Where'd it go?
Well, no, that that, as you look in the public domain, that money was used for the construction of the KWA.
So they found an emergency environmental reason to borrow oodles of money that they did not have.
That in and of itself is not a crime. It's not a crime to have funds be given to us, to an entity, a municipality, for an emergency. But if you do it with the intent to defraud or the bait and switch, as you know, people talk about in other cases, if that were the case, then yeah, that's a crime.
Okay.
So I can't get into Flint. I can't get into that portions of it. Listen, Charlie, I love you, man, but you're killing me because I can't get into the depths of something I would love to talk to.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Killing me, Smalls. That's a classic.
What's that from?
From Sandlot. You're killing me, Smalls.
Sandlot.
Wow, Sandlot drop.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I never even heard
that's
of Sandlot.
Deep.
I'm just that old.
No, I like it.
So ask me something else about anything else. What else is you want to ask me?
Okay. This will be the last. Are you a baseball fan?
I like baseball. I used to have season tickets to the Tigers, but I can't afford them anymore.
You get to the mic there.
I used to go to the Tigers all the time, but I can't afford the tickets anymore.
Because you're doing the Flint job.
Yeah. But actually, it's I'm disappointed in our Tigers right now. So
I did some looking, Drew. I think 19 out of the, 26 seasons the Illiches have had that club, they've been 500 or less.
Yeah, well, it was a nice run from 2006 to 2014.
Well,
that was really nice.
They also lost 100 games in there.
They lost 100 games in 2003, I think maybe in the 90s in 2004. They were losing team in 2004 or 5. Yeah, they had terrible losing teams. 2006 was when they went to the World Series.
And then 7.
2013, they went to the World Series. 2007 was a very disappointing year. They were under 500 that year.
Away under 500. They tanked. They were last.
That was the first year we had Cabrera, too.
When did Mr. I pass?
That was before last season. Winter of
17.
I'm not calling him Mr. I.
You don't like Mr. Illich?
I call him Illich.
Illich. Mr. Illich. So he passes.
Why I got to call him Mister.
You have an objection to calling him Mister. I.
Yeah. Why do I got to call him Mister?
Well, you don't have to do anything.
Was he royalty?
This is called the First Amendment. You can do whatever.
Stop with the media bullying,
Charlie.
You're bullying me, bud.
Charlie.
Yes.
Stop the media bullying.
What is your question? Man, oh man.
Nothing. Nothing. Get out, Todd. Get out, Todd. Bob plays
music.
It's
his first day, Todd.
Get out, Todd. Listen.
Hey, listen, keep up the great work.
I want you to keep up the great work.
You
fight
too.
The fight. We
Thanks,
want
bro.
You to, right? And I'm calling right now, as I'm looking you in the eye, everybody that's running for statewide office, I will be finding you. And I want a commitment to see the investigation through.
God bless you, buddy.
Everybody, because everybody in this state wants this thing to be seen through. Keep the faith, Todd.
Charlie,
and good luck with that new core.
Job.
That new core
exercises.
Workout thing. What is that with the medicine ball?
Heather, yeah, she keeps on.
So you're working with a medicine ball now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like you ate it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I walked out of this conversation, Todd, about all this core work. I'm going, man, I didn't realize that these guys were that intense about their cores.
Yeah. All about the core. Guys, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
My man, we'll be back right after this very important message.
Going. Now, I dialed 911 a long time ago. Don't you see how late they're reacting? They only come and they come when they wanna. So get the morgue truck and then bop the corner. They don't care cause they stay paid anyway. They treat you like an ace that can't beat the tray. I know you stumble with no use.
I've only got 9,998 followers. I've got bots. I've got bots.
Oh, please.
Drew's freaking out.
I lost 2 Twitter followers.
You lost 2 Twitter followers? Who the hell is, like, I lost 2 Twitter followers?
I just checked, like, 5 minutes ago, and 2 were gone. I'm like, what did I do in the last 5 minutes?
Do you, like, sit up late at night and count your Twitter followers?
No, but I just don't know why anybody, why would I have any bots? I have less than 10,000 Twitter followers.
The Russians are everywhere.
Do we really have to explain this?
I'm a pretty small target. That's all I'm saying. That's all I meant to say.
Everybody's got bots, dude. Okay. And everybody keeps them, and I'm really shocked that you're crying about it.
I just was disappointed to lose two
Twitter followers.
I'll
tell you what I'm going to do. Thank you.
Are you going to follow him, Charlie?
No, I don't follow him now, but I don't follow anybody. But I'll tell you what, Drew. Tell you what I'm going to do, dude. Thanks for helping me and having us on and, you know, helping us do the no bullshit news. And as a thank you, I am going to follow you for 24 hours.
But then I'll lose another Twitter follower.
And then
I've only got 9,997.
It's okay. It's all going to be good, dude.
I know how Dave Hampton felt when he had 1,002 yards and he lost six on his last carry of the year now.
Or Adrian Peterson thought he broke the record, and he's like, what do you mean I didn't break the record? Remember that one?
Eight yards short, I think?
Yep. All right, anyway, last segment. Let's wind this up. In the spirit of no bullshit news, most of us never make the news, so we figure we're going to go find people that need to be on the news and how easy it is to put them on the news. And so this is the inaugural segment for our intern, Joe DeMarco. Joe, the 58-year-old intern who went to Specs Howard and couldn't find a job.
He just went to Specs Howard now?
Yeah, just recently.
Really?
Just recently. And he's not handsome. Let me just put it like that. He's not.
Is he maturing late?
He's just never been handsome, and I don't think he's ever going to be handsome, but he's.
Gets the job done.
He gets the job done. So we sent him out to the east side of Detroit, to Mac and Bewick, very very rugged corner. They've got I guess the only way to put it is a sniper above the liquor store there.
Oh, my.
At least last time I was there, they had a guy up there. And so we asked Joe to go to the corner on Friday night when the checks come early, because on Labor Day, it's Monday, so the checks come on Friday, and basically talk to real people about the economy, the news, the president, the mayor. And Joe's prepared this for us.
You want to holler at me for a minute? I'm working with Charlie LaDuff. LaDuff's no
bullshit. Oh, that's the news, man.
What are your plans for the holiday weekend?
I'm trying to fuck some bitches, get drunk, and, you know, stay out the way.
The economy is very up and down. You have people that don't have shit. You have people that come in with pennies. You have people that come in with a lot of dollars. So it's up and down. To some people it's good. To some people it's going very, very bad. I think the mayor, we had a previous mayor that was corrupt. I believe we still have a corrupt mayor. I think we need to boot his ass out. I think he should be indicted soon. If not, we will send somebody for him. I think Trump is a piece of shit, and whatever he says should not be taken seriously.
The little guy outside that looks like Lil Wayne called himself regulating and actually threw me out. He don't even work there. He's just out in front doing what he's doing out in front.
I ain't comfortable where I'm at, you know, as I'm where I'm at. I can keep moving forward.
Well, that's a very good outlook. I like
it. You got to. I mean, I like it's
maybe. You control your own destiny.
Yeah, it's a shitty job, but while I work in that shitty job, I'm looking for better.
The hood feels it first, right?
Right.
What up, though, man?
You're not about to get the preaching up here, are you?
Preaching? No. Are folks in the hood getting treated fairly, or are we getting
how
screwed,
long think,
right?
How long you think it's last before the economy collapses? Oh, we don't want to hear this shit. If you want to do that, you got to pay me to do that shit, dog.
I got to pay you.
You got to pay me to do that
shit.
Wait a
minute, who are you?
A street nigga, Mac. Because okay. With them type of questions, like to the black community, we don't need no white guy sitting up here on the mic questioning what's our pay.
But I'm from the hood. All right, I don't care what you make.
But
the thing is, decently, or is it like minimum wage?
Man.
Or is it, you know.
Man.
Because.
At least give me a dollar before you start this shit. Hey, man, you got to pay to speak this shit.
I'm not speaking.
Hey,
I'm asking. It's your question.
No, you're not about to do that up here.
We trying to ask.
No.
How is the neighborhood?
We don't speak politics. All we know is poly and guns and jolly jollies. We don't know about this. You got a lot of argument.
Right.
My niggas are niggas. We gangsters. We fight each other. We take a lot of ass whippings around this bitch. We don't need no nigga on no mic standing at this gas station talking about Trump or nothing unless you pay me. If you pay me a dollar, you can sit on the corner and talk that shit.
But I ain't got it, though. And plus, I don't feel like I should have to pay some guy who's just hanging out at the gas station
You're going to pay the courthouse if they come up for loitering and soliciting.
Well, tell them to hurry up with that shit.
So apparently a white guy with a microphone looks too much like the police, and they don't want to talk to nobody.
Hey, Joe, you there?
Yeah. That's some wild stuff right there.
Yeah, where you at right now, man?
I'm at work. I'm actually hiding between some trucks so my boss don't find me so I can do this phone call.
You got a dollar?
Now I do. I didn't have no money that day when I went out there. But I wasn't about to tear him off no loot anyways. Dude, who the hell is he?
You were going to give him a dollar. Why didn't you give him a dollar? You had a dollar, dude. Why didn't you give him a dollar?
I did not have no dollars.
You did have a dollar.
I didn't. How do you know what the
fuck? You told me you had a fucking dollar.
No, I didn't. I had some pocket change.
Why didn't you get some pocket change?
About 85 cents. That's all the change I had.
Why didn't you?
And he still turned around and says, well, you still got to leave.
Well, listen.
After I gave him 85 cents.
Oh, you gave him 85 cents. Listen, Joe. No, Joe. We don't pay for interviews, Joe. Joe,
no,
this is not TMZ, Joe. Joe, man.
Can I ask Joe a question?
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, this is Drew.
Hey, Drew, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm just wondering about your career arc. You went to Specs Howard at the age of 55, 6, 7, something like that?
I actually was in 1708. Class was 1708, so it was in 2008. I graduated in 2009.
Okay,
and, that's still... been out here trying to get my thing on ever since then.
That's just pretty just good. Interesting pretty to good. Go into broadcast school at that point. I'm not knocking at all. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's been
really
successful.
Well, the reason why is, long story short, I got into radio as a teenager. I actually worked at a couple stations when I was a teenager, and it was great. But then I let some engineer scare me out of it by saying, well, it's all going to be automated radio. There ain't going to be no DJs in the future. So I just didn't try to pursue getting into radio. And then, you know, now that I wasted my life doing practically nothing, really. And I look back, and Carmen Highland and everybody that I listen to on the radio are now anchors on television. I'm like, damn, see, look at that badass boat that I missed. I could have been on that boat.
Yeah, but no, you gotta wash sometimes. You know what I mean? You gotta look presentable, bro. They taught you... Did they teach you at Specs Howard how to put on makeup?
No, it's not a makeup school. It's broadcast art school. Hmm. They teach you how to operate the camera, how to edit video, how to edit audio. They teach you how to smile to the microphone. Smile to the microphone and sound happy and look happy and be happy. And I didn't smile good enough to the microphone, I guess.
But if he had not talked to that engineer, we could have been watching him on Channel 4 News last night. Or Channel 7 News.
Well, it was that easy. It's not a bad interview, but Joe, what's up with the sound, man? I mean, I thought you went to Specs Howard. It was all, like, blown out.
Well, I didn't listen to it after I recorded it.
What do you mean, Joe? Joe, that's not professional. I'm going to have to retake
day.
This, man. I'm going to have to retake. How much did I pay you for that?
Nothing.
A dollar.
All right.
Interns do not get paid.
Maybe we can keep you
secret
around.
Number one in the broadcast industry, interns do not get paid.
You get paid negative 85 cents.
Radio stations use the free labor from interns until they graduate and can no longer be interns, and then they get new interns or new free labor, and they hire actually very few people to actually get paid.
That's where you come in.
Well,
that's where I come
in
too.
So,
Joe,
listen,
worry.
Joe. Look, Joe. Next time when you ask the questions, start it out with, "Give me your name." I'm assuming that was the guy, the store owner, and there was a guy that worked at the store, and a couple guys hanging out front.
The one guy that was actually giving you a lot of information about, you know, he was doing swell, and a lot of other people that are not doing so not so well. That was a store owner.
Yeah,
I could have asked his name. I forgot. But nobody was telling me their names. People were hostile, man. It wasn't a place where you could ask him his name. I might get hurt trying to ask him his name over there.
What? Not if you had a dollar.
I didn't even have a dollar, man.
How'd you
That's
get
what I'm saying,
there?
Go next time you have a dollar.
Man.
Oh, never
mind. Requisition a few $1 bills from accounting.
Listen,
next time.
Joe, we promise this will be an hour. But listen, that photograph you sent me with the spooge on your face, what is that?
That's grease from greasing a truck. That's what I do. I do electrical work, and when there ain't no electrical work, then I'm running for parts. And when there ain't no parts to be ran for, then they'll have me grease trucks. So you go get on a creeper, go underneath the truck, and grease all the little Zerk fittings, and sometimes the stuff squirts back at you.
Says file photo for the website?
Yeah.
It's quite nasty. It's quite nasty.
Joe, you got a girlfriend? You got a girlfriend?
I don't want to ruin things. So
that means no. You don't want to get caught in a lie.
That means I might be working on something and don't want to fuck it up.
Very hot.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, Joe.
Is she in Canada?
Okay, so like the final finale thought here, Joe. What did you learn about a very particular corner in our corner of the world? What's the mood out there?
Well, I don't think I learned anything new out there. I mean, I already knew that it was a pretty hostile zone. You know what I did learn? It was very shocking to me. What party store in the hood closes at 9 o'clock on a Friday night, a holiday weekend, Friday night, and they're closing at 9 o'clock? That was crazy. That's the thing that blew me away the most.
All right. Well, thanks for that, Joe. All right. Well, good job. We'll be in touch and get back to work.
All right.
And that's the no bullshit news from the corner of Mac and B-Wick. I want to thank everybody. Thanks, Drew. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Joey.
Bobby.
Thanks, Charlie.
Not bad. And let's get to work on some sponsors, all right?
10-4. All right. It's my first day.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Much obliged.